We'll do it live.
Let's do it live, man. Whatever. What are we doing? Podcasting. Is there sound? I can't hear it. So I'm just going to go.
Oh, really? It's not coming in?
I don't hear it, no. I mean, whatever. Hey, sing the song to yourselves. I can't even do the intro without the song. I don't even know what I'm doing right now. I don't even know what to do, truly. So, hey, we're the Barn Chirpers. Take a lap. Clap it up, boys. I'm thrown off. I don't know what to do without the music for our show. I literally don't know the words. The words aren't in my head right now. So, hey, welcome to the Barn Chirpers at Barn Chirpers Pod, anywhere across the globe and on the internet. You know where to find us. Just do that. We got a stacked show, so let's get into it. Justin has the sweater game. Well, I'm going to play the sweater game because Justin has a sweater. So I'm going to kick it off with the first question. Is your sweater Eastern Conference?
No.
Okay. Is your sweater a, how do I want to phrase this? I'm trying to narrow it down. Okay. I'm going to say it like this because we kind of think the same way. Is your sweater a player that is considered a superstar?
Yeah, I think he would be. Yeah.
Okay. Still not narrowed down. Okay. So I got one more question. Is your sweater a center?
I think he's a winger. I don't know if he's a multi-positional. Hold on.
Okay. I still have no idea what I'm getting.
He is indeed a center. I wanted to make sure he wasn't multi-positional.
Okay. Considered a superstar in the Western Conference, and he is a center. Oh, boy. Dang. I didn't narrow that down for myself at all. So... man, who have you even talked about? I don't even know, dude. Okay. I'm going to guess. Is your sweater Calgary Flames, Yegor Sharangovich?
It's a really good guess, but no.
Ah, okay. All right. Give it to me.
I don't know if you would have arrived here.
Oh, it's a Jack Eichel, isn't it?
It is indeed.
That's
an Eichel.
Nice. Nice. That's a reverse retro. That's pretty. You know what? I've said before I didn't like that font and the number, but seeing it, obviously you're in somewhere else right now. We're yeah. on the internets, but I like that actually. Did you test out and see how it glows yet in the dark?
I have not been able to see if it glows or not. And well, if
gotta,
it does,
you got to get some light on it first and then yeah. let us know later for sure. That's dope. But, cool, man.
But I was eyeballing the Mark Stone because I wanted to see. Yeah. But when I'm looking at that number 61 in that font, it looks weird. I think the single digits look better in that font. So I was like, fair. You know what? I like Eichel. Not Eichel number 9 looks really good. I got to put this on. Hold on.
Yeah, no, I'll talk amongst ourselves. So like I said, we got a stacked show today. We just played the sweater game. We're going to do a little fraud or fair or fraud or contender or fraud thing. Talking about with contending teams who are in the playoffs because it's about that time. We got about 16 games left in the season for everybody. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little PWHL naturally, and then we're going to do some predicts on the trophy winners and then some news and notes to close it out like we always do. So Justin, I'm going to hit you with this hard-hitting question right off the bat here in our first segment. Out of the current playoff teams that are in the playoffs, how do you have one for sure that you think is a contender and one that is bogus out of all 16 teams that are currently in a playoff position? Who is a contender and who is bogus in your mind?
All right, I need to look at the Eastern Conference first to make sure they're even in right now before I. All right, so as of right now, your Washington Capitals are bogus because they're in a wild card position right now at 75 points. I mean, again, nothing against them. I it really depends on who they draw. I think they match up well with some teams. I know this is going to sound wild because they played well this year, but I think they match up well with the Rangers.
But they're the Capitals, not the Wild.
That's true.
You always do it to me. So you always
that's
do
true.
It
to me. I hate to point out the obvious, but honestly, I think whoever grabs that secondary wild card spot in the East is going to be bogus. Because none of those teams are playing like they want it. So, I mean, I got to give props to the Caps for going out and winning games to get in that position.
Buddy, you know what I mean? And technically, the Caps have a higher winning percentage by 0.001 than the Flyers. So, technically, Washington really occupies that third spot in the Metro, technically speaking, but they're down by 1 point. So, obviously, it doesn't matter. Yeah, man. You know, obviously, I've been ragging on my team, the Caps, all year. But I tell you what, dude, you know, props to Spencer Carberry in his first year coaching to coach this team up to be in the spot that they are, because there's really no reason that they should be in this spot. But so I'm actually, again, maybe this is a little bit of homerism. Again, I've said the whole year I don't want them to make the playoffs because I don't want to get embarrassed again, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, you know, somebody that I'm going to say that is in a playoff position that is bogus, Justin, and this might come out of left field a little bit, and they currently, as of today, with 95 points, are sitting first atop the Atlantic, but I'm calling the Boston Bruins a fraud, and this is the reason why. They have the most overtime losses in the league with 15 overtime losses. So they have 15 of their points are loser points. That screams bogus to me. And yes, hey, you're getting those games to overtime. You're getting a point. But you can't win in regulation with two of the best, arguably the best goalie tandem in the league, and you can't win in regulation. So that tells me you can't score goals. That tells me you can't finish the game. So you have 15 loser points. Now you're telling me you go into the playoffs. So listen, I'm not a math guy. They told me there'd be no math here, but out of 69 games played and you've lost 15 in overtime, I don't know what that percentage is, but let's look at that over the span of whatever. If you want to do some math here while I'm talking, what's 69 divided by 15, or maybe the other math has to go the other way. Either way, but do that math real quick. And then whatever that math is, figure out what that would be for 16 games, because it takes 16 games to win the Stanley Cup. I'm going to guess here, again, not being a math guy, that that percentage is not going to be pretty great.
16 divided by, I think I'm doing the math right. 16 divided by, it's like four games or something.
Okay, yeah, so that's my point right there. So you're going to go into overtime and lose four games. Guess what? You're out of the playoffs.
Yep.
That's my point right there. So thank you. Even though I'm terrible at math, I realize this, and I'm doing this on live TV, live radio, live podcasting, live internets. You can chirp me about being terrible at math. Please go ahead at Bard Trooper Spot. I'm not great at math, but that was my point. That's why I think Boston Bruins are a fraud, and they are probably going to get bounced in the first round.
I can't disagree with you. Like, I mean, you know, not only because the point you made, but like, it feels like they're kind of getting back to the point we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year, right? Like, we had predicted a down year for them, and they managed to not do that at the beginning of the year. And then they came down to earth here recently, and now they're kind of showing this is who we actually are. We did lose some big pieces last year, and it's taking a toll, and we lost people who are going to win us games. So yeah, I think you're spot on.
I mean, while I will give them a little bit of props that your boy Zaka and Coyle actually have that's first and second line centers there. They do actually have a little bit better production than Bergeron and Krejci had last year. But Boston, who do you have? You have Marchand and you have Pasta. That's it. I mean, yeah, of course, there's other guys scoring. I mean, Geeks has been doing pretty well recently. I've been on a little bit of a heater, but dude, you're not winning games. You're obviously not winning games in regulation. So that's going to put a toll on you in the playoffs. The playoffs are already hard. And then you're going to go into overtime every 3.4 games by the math that we just did or so. Good luck. So that's my bogus is the Boston Bruins. Who do you have throughout the 16 spots occupied as a contender, a legit contender?
I hate to sing the praises of the Florida Panthers again, and I hate to stay in the East because I honestly don't think – I mean, I think they can, but I don't think the Cup is coming to the East this year. How do I go against the Panthers? I mean, again, they've come down to earth a little bit here over the last week, but last year they got hot at the right time and just blew through everybody, and the East is looking much weaker this year. Sans maybe the Rangers, but like most of the East is down and Florida is hot. Yeah, I don't like repeating, but that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my pick. The Rangers are definitely up there. I do think that the Rangers have shown that they are a contender, especially now that Shesterkin is kind of back on his game. Quick is playing out of his mind as a backup. He's playing his role perfectly. Man, I just watched the Ranger game the other day. They were playing the Islanders again. And new kid that they picked up, like Will Cooley or Will – I'm not sure exactly, but man, that he's a good solid depth guy. Lafreniere is actually, I mean, he's not playing to the point of being a number one overall draft pick, but you know what? He's picked it up this year. He must have listened to our show. So, and Bread is out of his mind this year. So things are really kind of clicking for the Rangers. So I do want to say, as an asterisk, I am saying that the New York Rangers are a legit contender, and I'm kind of going, I'm adding an extra pick here in a way, but it's a talking point out of these two teams. So really we're talking about four. I'm just making up my own rules as we go along here, but there's a conversation there about Winnipeg and Colorado, because in both cases, Colorado of course has won a cup in the last couple years, but we've talked about the Gorgiev situation. Is he going to be able to stand up in a deep playoff run? Colorado, when they won the cup in 22, they essentially won the cup because their power play was on fire. So they were destroying Tampa Bay on the power play. They weren't, Tampa Bay was killing them on 5-on-5, but Colorado was taking advantage and they essentially won the cup on the power play. And you got a guy like Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar and Mikko Rantanen, like they're a contender as well. And Winnipeg is a contender. You have the best goalie on the planet right now. And offense is firing seemingly on all cylinders with Winnipeg. So, but the only thing is they're not playoff tested. So I know we're kind of saying the same things that we've said before, but I do think that there's a conversation there with Winnipeg and Colorado also being contenders. I know we said pick one, but I'm changing the rules. I'm changing the rules, Justin. Do you have a retort to that? I do have a pass or shoot for you coming from there.
I feel like Winnipeg is definitely a contender. Because we had the conversation, I think it was last week, I think it was on the show, where we were worried about Vancouver and Winnipeg. I'm more worried about Vancouver being like last year's Devils, where like they kind of surprised everybody, nobody could catch up to them. Maybe they squeak out a first round and then they're solved by the second round. I worry about that for Vancouver. But Winnipeg, you're right, they're not battle tested, but they did make the playoffs last year, and this team is better than last year's team. To me, it really kind of depends on their draw. Like, who do they get in that first round? Is it somebody that they match up well with? And you know, you could say that about anybody, but I feel like between some playoff experience last year plus adding pieces like Toffoli and Monahan and and Miller. It seems like Winnipeg could probably be considered a real contender. All of that to say, I agree with you.
Perfect. So I know I said I was going to do a pass or shoot, but actually I'm changing it on the fly. What I want to do here is I want to give you, and it's going to be a real quick fire answer. I'm going to give you what the matchup is, and we're just going to essentially do what the first round would be if the playoffs started today. So you'll just say which team is moving on in that first round. Okay.
Gotcha. Yep.
And then I'll respond right after that too. So, cause I've had some time to think about it now, obviously. So if the playoffs started today, let's start in the West. If the playoffs started today, the Vancouver would be playing Vegas Golden Knights. Who wins?
Oh no. That's nightmare scenario for Vancouver. I got to go Vegas. I can't. We've said this a million times on the show. Sorry, it bears repeating. Until they show me otherwise, it's Vegas.
You're right. Yeah, I'd say the same thing. It's Vegas. Winnipeg. Oh, well, let's see. Who has the tiebreaker? 1 second. Sorry. So Winnipeg does have the tiebreaker. Okay. So Winnipeg versus Nashville Predators.
That's a tighter matchup than it. Than on paper. I love how Nashville is playing right now, but I think I just called them a contender, so I got to go Winnipeg.
Yeah, agreed. Winnipeg. I just think there's more weapons. You're essentially goalie versus goalie. Who's going to out goalie the other goalie in that matchup? So that's going to give us Colorado versus Dallas.
Oh God. What a first round.
Yeah. Two legit cup contending teams out. Like, obviously there's teams going to be eliminated in this first round, but this matchup right here, two teams that could easily win this, not easily, but could win the Stanley Cup out. One of these guys is out in the first round. Like, that is insane.
Well, so where we are right now, I'd have to go Colorado, but based on my pick at the beginning of the season, I picked Dallas and Carolina. I'm going with Dallas. It doesn't feel right, but I'm going to go with Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see that. I'm picking Colorado in that, though. I think Nate MacKinnon has put the team on his back, and he is just a monster right now. I don't see him slowing down. We get a rematch of the last 2 years, Edmonton versus the LA Kings.
I think Edmonton does it. The Kings have slowed down a great deal. Edmonton's showing me that, again, this is a situation, do it. But Edmonton has shown that they're real, at least first round real. So I think they've got more than Los Angeles. So give me the Oilers.
David, I'm real. I'm going with the Oilers as well. So that does it for the Western Conference. Those that early first round prediction. Over to the East. Woof. Yeah, you said this earlier, but yeah, the East is just not sexy this year. It's really not. We'll save this. So if the playoffs started today, Boston would have the number one seed. So Boston versus the Washington Capitals.
I like this matchup for the Caps. I really do. But the question is, do they have the goal scoring? And, that's Oof. That would be my biggest question. But if I'm going with my gut, I'm going with Caps in the upset.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane. I was really surprised that you said that, actually. I am picking the Caps in this, not even just because I am a homer, and that's a homer pick. But man, they just, again, they've been coached up so well this season. They're in a spot that they should not be. And This is a fun fact. The Capitals, I was looking at this also, only have 181 goals for. Okay. 181 goals for. That is, you know who has more goals for than the Capitals? The Columbus Blue Jackets, Justin. Anaheim only has 10 goals less scored than the Capitals. Okay. So it's crazy that they're in a wild card spot. But so I'm actually going with the Capitals for everything I said earlier when I said Boston was a fraud, because the Caps are a team that plays hard enough to get it done in regulation, whether they're going to lose or whether they're going to win. Right. So I'm going to pick the Capitals in this one as well. And that's a homer pick, but yeah, man, I think Carbs has got him coached up.
So, let me add this before we move on to the next round. Yeah. The biggest thing that the Caps are doing this year, and what do you have to do in the playoffs? Just win, right? Like, find ways to win. The Caps are doing that. And, you know, I don't think it bodes for a good long run, but I think they can squeak four out of Boston.
Considering Boston was up by two games and then they lost the next three to Florida last year, it's very possible. So that would be Boston versus Washington, the Rangers. Oh, wait, so Rangers and Panthers are tied. Hold on one second. I got to scroll over here. I was not prepared for this. So Florida would have the tiebreaker. So it would be Florida versus Tampa Bay Lightning.
Ooh. Who has the keys?
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Because, excuse me, it would be the New York Rangers versus Tampa Bay Lightning. Excuse me.
Okay. You know, this is madness talking here, I think. But I think I got the Lightning in the upset. They're not setting the world on fire right now, but Tampa's turning it on at the right time. If they go into the playoffs and Vazzy's right, I mean, again, we talked earlier about the Rangers actually being contenders.
Yes, but for sure.
For them, it just depends on matchup, and I don't like this matchup for the Rangers at all. I don't like them matching against Tampa.
Yeah, I would pick Tampa as well. And again, I stand by what I said, giving the Rangers their props. But listen, Tampa has shown that they're a team that just needs to get in and anything can happen. They can kind of turn a switch on and be dangerous, right? And I just don't see, or we haven't seen this Rangers squad turn it on in that sense, right? To be... Yeah, they've been the number one team in the Metro for like 144 days this season, right? But we haven't really seen them struggle. So can they turn it on can they keep that on throughout a playoff run? I don't know. I don't think that we've seen that yet. So, I'm picking Tampa Bay because you can't count them out. So that leaves us the Metropolitan matchup would be the Carolina Hurricanes versus the Philadelphia Flyers.
I got to go Canes. I mean, I think this is a good matchup, and I think it has the possibility to go seven, but the Flyers are fading, and Carolina is starting to do the Carolina thing where get good going towards the playoffs. So, you know, it's not sexy, but I think Carolina. I think I got Canes.
Yeah, I mean, blast me for saying that I would be excited to see the Flyers in the playoffs, this torts run Flyers squad. Oh, who am I? But yeah, man, Carolina is a different, they made the moves finally. Yeah. And I've watched three Carolina games now since Kuzi and Gensel showed up there. This is a different squad. They are fast paced, while still being the Rod the Bod defensive team, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. They are pushing the puck forward and they're still strong on defense. And I've given them crap for being boring, right? They're not as boring anymore. They're exciting. So yeah, I don't think it's a sweep, but I do think that they would beat the Flyers, even though it is a torts run Flyers squad. Okay, in this matchup, Florida versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. You know what I'm going to say.
Nightmare scenario for the Leafs. This is another situation like Vegas. Until proven otherwise, I got the Panthers. I watched enough Panthers games this year, even before the deadline, to know that they're dangerous. And until somebody beats them, they're my team in the East.
Last year, it ended up being a gentleman's sweep. This Florida Panthers would sweep the Toronto Maple Leafs. Absolute sweep. Like, demolish them. Absolutely demolish them. Because, again, this Toronto team is soft. So soft. And the guys that are supposed to show up don't show up. So they would get their butts handed to them. Bet on that. So that was our first little playoff talk. Of course, once these last 16 games shape out, we'll talk a little bit more about that and go a little more in depth on some actual first round matchups when that happens. We want to move over. And of course, there's awards at the end of the year, and there's 16 or so games left. And so we want to do a little prediction of what we think for some of the big trophies. So I'm going to save MVP for last. We didn't talk about this, but I mean, let's talk about the Calder. Who's winning the Calder? I think it's pretty obvious. I'm going to say Bedard. I think it's going to be no doubt about it. Bedard's winning it.
Oh, for sure. Like, you know, there's a couple kids who've made cases. Rossi's made a case.
Faber.
Faber has for sure made a case. Luke Hughes, for a minute in time, looked like he was going to be in the conversation, but points wise, he's faded. So, like, there's no way it's not Bedard. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, I mean, Bedard, since coming back from breaking his jaw, he's scored like 10 points in four games. I mean, he's moons in a way. Though Faber, you could still talk about Faber. He, as a 19-year-old defenseman, he leads the league on time on ice for a rookie, right? And not even just rookies, but I'd have to look at the actual stat. But I know I saw this. He literally, as a rookie, is killing it on time on ice. Being put in that position, high pressure situation with Spurgeon out. So, like, dude, and he scored some points. I don't have it right in front of me. I should have looked at that, but so you could make a case for him, but yeah, it's Bedard. The league would actually be doing it right because you can market Bedard. You've talked about him. You could actually do something and market him, face of the league right there, you know, so mm-hmm. you'd actually be doing it right. Next one I think is interesting to talk about would be the Vezina Trophy. Now, I'm going to read you the top five goalies. Well, I'll go top 10. All right, I'll run on the top 10 real quick. Connor Hellebuck, Bob, 6K, Kochekov, Talbot, Quick, Demko, Decord, Swayman in that order.
To me, it's been between Hellebuck and Demko. I don't have a favorite. I mean, if you're looking at just stats, it should probably be Hellebuck, right? You know, I don't think you can go wrong with picking Hellebuck at this point.
Yeah, I mean, my pick would be Hellebuck for sure. I mean, especially that streak, like we've talked about before, that Winnipeg had allowing less than two goals for whatever it was, like 30 some games. Like, that's insane. But Bob has been playing out of his mind too, so we have to talk about that. As far as stats wise, they are neck and neck. They've both played 49 games. Hellebuck is 31-15-3 with a 2.31 goals against. Bob 32-14-2 with a 2.35. So, like, those two 100% are going to be finalists. I do think Demko is going to be probably that third finalist because he has done some amazing work this year as well. But he's missed some time now with, you know, being injured. So I think that kind of, you know, doesn't play in his favor, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I'm going with Hellebuck. I think it's his time. I think he's the guy to beat, like, essentially give me a reason not to vote for Hellebuck. You know what I mean? So I don't think you're going to find that. How about the Norris, Justin? Who do you think wins the Norris?
Norris is
best defenseman. Would you pick Carlson?
Dude, that blew up in their face, didn't it?
I'm pretty sure I said that he was going to have less than 50 this year. Didn't I say that?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I'm pretty sure I chirped him for it because that's what I would do.
Is it?
Let me get you. Let me look at. Give you some top three stats real quick. I mean, so the first name that pops in my mind, of course, is going to be Roman Josi, but Quinn Hughes has been out of his mind this year there as well.
Carroll McCarr.
Of course, Carroll McCarr.
Yeah.
Okay, so here is your top 10 in order. Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar, Roman Josi, Victor Hedman, Noah Dobson, Evan Bouchard, Adam Fox, Josh Morrissey, Dahlin, and Morgan Riley is your top 10.
I'd like to see some love for Morrissey. I just don't see it happening. To me, I mean, it looks like Cale Makar at this juncture. He's definitely in the conversation for sure.
I mean, just looking at the stats, Cale has 5 less games played and he's only 3 points off of Quinn. So Quinn right. has 77 and 68 played. Cale 74 and 63 games played, but Cale just won it 2 years ago. So I think you're probably going to see Quinn Hughes winning it this year. I
would love that.
I would bet. And he deserves it. I mean, he's been stepped up as a leader, as the captain of the Vancouver Canucks. So I think he has earned that prize. This one, before we get to MVP, the Jack Adams Coach of the Year. I want to do this. Give me 3 finalists and then tell me who you think wins it.
Probably, I think maybe Paul Maurice is in the conversation again. I mean, again, just Torts is in the conversation. He better be.
I don't think you can deny that. I don't think you can deny that.
And then to me, the winner is Tocchet. I mean, ad nauseum on this pod, we've talked about, we didn't expect anything from Vancouver. So yeah. No matter what they do in the playoffs, they're light years beyond where we thought they'd be. And Tocchet is kind of the spark. So that's the winner.
Yeah, I mean, definitely when you said that conversation with Torts being in the conversation, I also, again, it's a little bit of a homer pick, but truly looking at it objectively, Spencer Carberry and or Torts being in that conversation for a finalist because they have coached up teams that aren't supposed to be where they're at.
Yeah.
And more so on Torts' side because he doesn't have the weapons that Washington does have. Washington has a better prospect pool right now. Obviously, you have Ovechkin, Oshie, Carlson, Wilson, Pacioretty, Lindgren. You know, obviously, I didn't say Darcy Kemper. but Carbs has done a hell of a job coaching this team up, as I said in the first segment. Like, I don't think he's actually a finalist. If we're talking about a coach that's on a quote-unquote less than team, I do think you're talking about Torts because he has less to work with. But to your point with Tock, like, think about him coming in at the back half of the season last year, and this team is the same team that has been – we talked about the gaslighting Vancouver Canucks for many years. This is that same team, and Tock came in and has turned them now into a contender. So, yeah, you can't deny that where – in such a short turnaround, because Paul Maurice has had the Panthers now for 3 seasons. You know what I mean? And again, much love to Paul Maurice. I love him as a coach and what he does. But yeah, man, I mean, how can you not pick Rick Tocchet? I think the only thing holding him back would be if Vancouver doesn't make it to the Cup final. I think you could see some voters being like, yeah, I mean, he did good, but... You know, I think that's could be the only thing holding him back, but I think he is definitely a clear favorite for that. Okay, so the one that everybody talks about is the MVP, the Hart Memorial Trophy winner, and I'm gonna give you the top 10 right now leaders in scoring from top to bottom. I'm going to give you their points percentage as well. Nathan MacKinnon with 116 points. Nikita Kucherov, 114 points. Connor McDavid, 106. David Pastrnak, 96. Artemi Panarin, 94. Mikko Rantanen, 90. JT Miller, 87. Willie Nylander, 87. Leon Draisaitl, 86. Austin Matthews, 82 at number 10. So, Justin, but Austin Matthews is going to score 75 goals. Who are your finalists and who is the winner for the Hart Memorial Trophy? MVP of the league.
I think you can make a case for JT Miller. I'm throwing him in there because there should be a Canuck in there somewhere. Redman, as you pointed out, playing out of his mind. But and God, again, even on this episode, and he's the points leader. How is Mac not the favorite going in? Like it's got to be McKinnon, right?
I think so. I think there's, I mean, of course there's still about 16 games left. Him and Kucherov are, you know, 2 points. He's 2 points ahead of Kucherov. I do think Kucherov has had an outstanding season. He has essentially kind of willed Tampa Bay along. Kucherov has like 50 more points than the next point scorer. And that's from the last time I checked, Braden Point, who has like 75, right? So he's not like a slug, you know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. Kucherov is just literally on every single scoring opportunity that Tampa Bay has. So, and the MVP really, when you look at it, is supposed to be the most valuable player to his team, right? So you got him. Kucherov is definitely in that case. Like you said, McKinnon, I mean, I don't know if you saw it the last night, they won in overtime. McKinnon caught the puck on like his skate, kicked it over to himself and flipped it over to Lakenin for the game winning goal. Like just amazing. And then we're talking about McKinnon being a Mack truck. He really is. He hits people. His bursts from like 0 to 50 mile an hour bursts. He has the, again, I'm saying these things that I don't have actual stats to read out to the listeners, but if you look up like that NHL edge stats, McKinnon is moons above everybody with like speed bursts. He's so fast. I think he wins it. I know I'm saying a lot to say McKinnon. But here's the only thing. I feel like because Toronto is a big market, people are going to be on Austin Matthews' jock for scoring, you know, however many goals he ends up scoring. He's at 55 right now. He's on pace for like 68. Great. You're not even scoring the most points on your team, buddy. Like, you're not a most valuable player. Yeah, you score a lot of goals. Great. You're a great goal scorer when you want to. You don't even score the most points on your team. So get out of here with that MVP talk, but I'm sure he will probably be a finalist. Truly.
To tag to that point, like how many of those goals, and yeah, it's a lot. But how many of those goals are in games where they win like 6-1, 6-2? And how many of those are game winners where they need him to score? That's the question.
Yeah. How many of those goals were scored, those 55 current goals scored in 65 game plays? How many times did you score when you were losing and you willed your team to victory? I don't know that to be sure, but just curious. No big deal.
Chirp us. Let us know if we're wrong.
Please, at Barn Chirp Respond. I would love somebody to chirp me about the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm still waiting on it. I haven't heard anybody chirp me about it yet because you know I'm right. It's okay. I have no problem being wrong, but I know I'm right in this situation. So anyway, moving on. Let's talk a little PWHL here real quick, Justin. The season is winding down, and Toronto and Minnesota are the powerhouses, both with 33 points. Toronto has a game in hand, and they seem to be running away with it. So as of right now, really the only team that seems to be out is New York. Mm-hmm. That isn't official, but New York is at the bottom with 17 points. I think they've lost 7 in a row, correct? So I think even if they won their next 7 games, yeah, so there's 24, or excuse me, 3. Well, I mean, I guess there's 21 points available. So maybe they're not totally out, but as it stands right now, Toronto would get to pick who they want to play. And your top four are Toronto, Minnesota, Montreal, and Boston.
Yeah. It's wild that this is coming up. It's crazy that this is coming up on the only weekend I didn't watch any PWHL. Like, I missed all the games this weekend, which is it's a rarity for me. But Toronto has just been out of their mind. They've been a true wagon over the last month and a half, 2 months, just going out there and win. And New York, to your point, has not. You know, they're not getting the puck luck, and it stinks because they got two tremendous goalies. They have a good roster. They're just not winning. It's just not coming together for them. But My guess would be Toronto would pick Boston, even though Toronto and Montreal would be fire. Like, that would be a bold pick, like that as a five gamer. Ooh, because there's fire there. There is already a rivalry brewing between those two, and it's not just geological; it's just the way they play. So, I'd love that pick for them, but my guess would be they would take Boston and probably work them. Unfortunately for Boston.
One thing that stands out to me about PWHL Toronto is they have zero overtime losses. That is impressive to me. They have three overtime wins, so they have gone to overtime, but zero overtime losses. That says a lot about a team. We talked about this almost the whole episode about overtime. They're getting it done in regulation, so love to see that, even though it is Toronto. But it's PWHL, so it's not the Maple Leafs. So moving on here. So last week we didn't get to this because we were running out of time, but the NHL announced that next year's Global Series Challenge is coming to Munich, Germany. I'm missing one thing, but so the Sabres are going to play one of the Munich teams on September 27th. But then the Global Series will feature the Sabres, Devils, Stars, and Panthers in the 2024 Global Series. I'm glad they picked four teams that, like, I love to see that. As we know, you know, not that it was bad last year because it wasn't, but I think these four teams, I mean, essentially you're saying here are our expected contenders. I mean, I know we know Buffalo kind of faltered this year and didn't live up to what we thought they were going to do, but still, man, I mean, that's four solid teams going over playing in front of a European crowd. I love it.
I'm excited at the picks, you know, like, you know, you could say the same thing about New Jersey, but I think the difference between New Jersey and Buffalo is injuries and age. I know that Buffalo is young. I'm not saying they're not, but New Jersey is the youngest team in the league. That's not to give a pass, but you have two teams that can be exciting, even though they haven't been this year, and two just really top contender teams. Like, this is the best they've done yet. As far as picking who's going over there, I love it. I think this is great.
Agreed. And the cities, I just pulled it up because I cut it off before, but they're going to Czechia. So Czech Republic, or excuse me, it's not Czech Republic, anymore. Czechia, Finland, and Germany. So three cities for the Global Series. That is pretty awesome. And the Sabres playing that Munich team is pretty cool too, just in itself, that you'll see some international play with a team that you would never see unless you tune into that. So that's cool too. A bit of, I don't know, is it sad news? Is it just more like, oh, here we go? But so this is from Elliot Friedman. Quote, we have a new entrant revealing its desire for NHL expansion. Broadcaster on the TNT broadcast, Anson Ace Carter, who scored 202 goals in 674 NHL games, unveils Alpharetta Sports and Entertainment Group wishing to bring a team back to Atlanta. Third time's the charm, right, Justin?
I hate it, but to me, it feels like it's inevitable. I mean, like, it's inevitably going to happen. The fact that these rumors aren't going away. If they do get it, then I hope it succeeds. You know, nothing makes me sadder than somebody going and getting a club and then losing it. Like, the fact that the Yotes may be out of Arizona is sad.
They're definitely out. Like, I think, unfortunately, they're definitely out. I guess here's my only thing is, like, and this is just hearsay from the other podcasts that I listen to, but even like a longtime franchise like the Atlanta Braves rarely even sells out during a playoff game in Atlanta.
Yep.
I know the Hawks haven't really been a good basketball team for probably since Dikembe Mutombo was there. But you know what I mean? So it's seemingly like Atlanta is not a booming sports town. I don't know. But also to that point, that's my perspective. But then again, from this other things that I've heard is that Atlanta used to be more of a not tourist, maybe tourist, but what am I trying to say? Like people are weren't necessarily moving there, or people were moving there, and now there's more of a like this is our town type of people. Like people aren't moving out of Atlanta now, allegedly. So maybe now with people that are living there, maybe we have a better opportunity to build a fan base. I hope that made sense because it didn't really make sense in my head. But I think I came back on that one. Yeah.
I think the word you're looking for is transient, kind of like ours.
There it is. Transient. Yes. Yeah. Allegedly there's not much of a transient population in Atlanta anymore. There's more of a homegrown type of population. So maybe that's something they can build a fan base off of. Cause like you said, I don't want to see it fail. I want to see a successful team. I just don't want to be embarrassed as an NHL fan when we talk about, you know, we love the Yotes now, but it's embarrassing.
Yeah. You know, I our friend we did the free throw episode with, John F. He lives in Atlanta. And I can't believe when we were on with him, we didn't talk about the Thrashers, but like he was talking about how like the city loved the Thrashers and the problem wasn't getting people to go to Thrashers games. It was something else. It was management. But I know that the soccer club does well there. Atlanta United does well. Okay. So I think based on where they're putting it, to your point, it, you know, in Marietta, like outside of the city, technically, I think maybe it has a chance. And when I talked to John about this, he seemed like excited about the prospect of having hockey there again. Like you said, I just don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want them to go out stink and nobody show up and 3 strikes you're out for Atlanta when you have a hot hockey market. I know it's not sexy for TV like Quebec City, not getting even looked at.
I do think one thing that the prospect of an Atlanta hockey team again, and if Anson Carter is kind of the face of that, you know, ownership group, I think could potentially be a big uptick because he's on TNT all the time. TNT is based in Atlanta. You know, that could be a helping hand to a franchise like that, because you can put a face to the franchise and he's on TV talking about it all the time or talking about hockey. You can see, oh, that's my owner. Like how often do we see owners of franchises on TV or just in the public eye, unless you're actually actively looking for them on Instagram or Facebook or on the internet. I mean, so I could see a positive in that. The only thing, and we've talked about this before. So if you bring a team to Atlanta, obviously it's probably going to happen in Salt Lake City. So are we talking about 34 teams now? Like that's just so many teams. And we've talked about this before. Like, think about how many teams right now kind of are icing AHL teams. San Jose, Chicago, Anaheim to an extent. I mean, again, I've been giving my boys praise all day, the Capitals, but they have an AHL team. Like, there's a lot of AHL guys from Hershey that have now established themselves in the actual NHL, but a lot of them were just from Hershey 2 years ago, right? So I just don't want to see a team full of AHL guys, then you call it the NHL, you know? So hopefully we don't have that. But yeah, I guess I'll go back to my last point of if Anson Carter is pushing it, and we can see that all the time, and that brings an uptick to an Atlanta group, then I'm at least around to check it out and see and, you know, support it in the sense of succeeding. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and yeah, that's the. I got nothing to add because yeah,
let's just do things that succeed. Okay, let's not fail. Totally. Let's not have any failures. Right, we don't want to see a team show up and then leave. Right, so well, we went longer than we normally plan on doing, which is what we normally do. But hey, whatever, that's fine. That's what we do. So thanks for listening. Tune in next week. Just you sweater game again next week, right? Because you got three.
I do. I got two. Okay. So I got one more next week.
Okay, so we got Sweater Game to kick things off again next week. Tune in for that. If you don't want to tune in for anything else, tune in for the Sweater Game so you can see what awesome sweater Justin picked up. So until then, keep your head up, play to the whistle, clap it up, boys.
Yeah.